This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. U.S. Senator Kay Hagan squared off with North Carolina House Speaker Tom Tillis in their first senatorial debate last night. Polls show the race is neck and neck with 2 months left before the midterm elections. And with nearly $15 million in spending from outside groups, this race is already one of the most expensive in the country. Here to break down last night's debate is Susan Roberts. She's political science professor at Davidson College. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Also with us, Christian Lundberg, a communications professor at UNC Chapel Hill. He specializes in debate and public speaking. Chris, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Susan, going into this debate, what do you think is the goal? What do you think each of these candidates were told about sort of who they're trying to reach? Are they trying to persuade undecided voters or reaching for their base? What do you think?
Oh, I think they were trying to, the strategists were saying, reach for your base, not really go after undecided voters. Although Kay Hagan, Senator Hagan, did more of that than I thought perhaps prudent in reiterating that she was moderate from North Carolina. And the turnout for midterm elections is not as strong as it is for general elections. And usually it's the base that comes out. And I'm not sure either candidate did the best job going for their base. I think it should have been and was partially turnout driven in terms of how they framed the answers.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I thought it was a near push of a debate. I agree with Susan. I thought Hagan sounded good on women's issues and education. And I think Tillis did a good job of persistently attempting to tie her to President Obama. And the funny thing to me about this debate in some ways is that if you weren't paying close attention, it sometimes seemed like Senator Hagan was running for local office in North Carolina and that Speaker Tillis was running for president, which is one of the interesting disconnects in this debate.
Well, and in running for president, he would be talking about a number of issues, including the Affordable Care Act, where he tried right out of the gate to connect Senator Kay Hagan with the Affordable Care Act, which she supported. House Speaker Tillis criticized her. He said, if you like your plan, you can keep it, of course, referring to the bad start that Affordable Care Act had. And here is Kay Hagan's response.
I talk to people all across North Carolina, and they tell me they don't want to go back to the broken system. They want us to fix and improve this law, and that is exactly what I am doing. But when I look at what Speaker Tillis does, he wants to repeal this law. He would take us back to that broken system when seniors would pay more for their coverage than men. Women would pay more. Seniors would pay more than they're paying today. Their prescriptions would be much more. And if you had a pre-existing condition, forget about the availability of health care.
Susan Roberts, no surprise there. Everybody expected that Tom Tillis would try to make that close connection between Senator Hagan and President Barack Obama. How do you think this response plays to the audience that heard it?
Well, I think the response was one of her weaker responses. He came back and inaugurated a theme that he went back to time and time again, and that is she's broken her promises. Really, literally, he said that many times. And I think if I had been Kay Hagan, and I'm not a debate specialist, I would have said he wants to repeal and not reform. He wants to go back. And I think her answer was weaker on this than some of her other answers. She came out strong with the answer on ISIS.
Chris, you are an expert on debate, and I just wonder about the bind you're in. You've got this thing called Obamacare to the world that is just badly perceived. There's nothing you can do. There may be 2 or 3 years from now this thing could be the great savior. It may well indeed bring down health care costs. It may mean that people, millions who are not covered, have affordable care. But for now, it's badly perceived. What do you do? What kind of response do you make when you know that's coming?
Well, there are three strategies here. The first one that she employs to some effect is to appeal to constituencies that are likely to vote for her, seniors and to women. So she does a good job of dog whistling there. Although I agree with Susan, the interesting thing I think is that she should pivot towards more aggressively making the case instead of in individual instances that Tillis basically lacks a plan or an agenda for any of these things. And her best argumentative offense, I imagine, is to say, despite the problems that we may have with the Affordable Care Act, there's not a particularly good alternative in play. And that's a good way for her to also emphasize her experience with and credibility with the issues. The second big pivot I'd like to see her make in regards to these kinds of questions is, of course, she's tied to the Affordable Care Act in some instances. But I'd like to see her more aggressively not just distinguish herself from President Obama, but also to reframe the question for the campaign, which is that is this a referendum on President Obama's policies, or is this about what the next senator from North Carolina will do in moving the state forward?
I should point out, we're going to hear you both make these declarative and imperative statements. I would like to see. You're talking in technical terms. As somebody who professionally coaches debate, if you want to win this thing, I would have expected you to do this. I mean, that's just to point that out going forward.
Sure.
So let's talk more about this, because we've just heard from Senator Hagan. She did criticize Speaker Tillis. And again, as you pointed out, Chris, sounded like she was running for state office because continually reporting on and criticizing the state legislature's performance this past session. She looked at the General Assembly's education spending. It came up $480 million short of what the state said it needed to maintain. The state has still not come up to pre-2008 levels. And Senator Hagan was critical. And, of course, Tom Tillis had a response.
Two numbers, 7 and 10. 7% pay raise for teachers in North Carolina, making us regionally competitive and nationally competitive. 10, the number of years that Kay Hagan served in the legislature, and she allowed the kinds of tax breaks that she's talking about to be on the books. And instead of repealing them, she decided when times got rough that she would impose a temporary tax increase, sales tax increase, that harms the poor and working class more than anyone else. She went further and broke her promise. She said it was going to be temporary. She made some of it permanent. I fulfilled her promise when I repealed that sales tax and when I became speaker in 2011.
Susan Roberts?
Yes. Well, on that one, again, he said she broke her promise, but he had that question first, and she had a pretty good rejoinder. And this is, I think, smart on her part, because that's been the theme of most of Tillis's ads. She said, North Carolina is 48th in the nation on what we spend per pupil. And I think that is a little easier to grasp than the 7 and 10 for most of the casual audience.
Chris?
You know, one of the interesting challenges in thinking about how arguments interact with an audience is to think about the difference between a high and a low information argument. So math tends to be a relatively high information argument. And there are easy rejoinders to make that make – so, for example, saying a 7% increase isn't that significant if you consider that the education budget has been stagnant or cut back. So the problem is that high information arguments don't tend to persuade very many people. Research shows us that because humans love our confirmation bias, we're likely to agree with the high information arguments that we like and likely to disregard the ones we don't. The interesting thing I think about the answer is the notion of promise that Tillis repeated consistently. An example of a low information argument, something about the trustworthiness of a candidate. And there were so many of these that are sprinkled throughout the debate, breaking promises, failed policies, not being in touch with North Carolina. These are all examples of how, independent of how voters may assess the information content of a specific claim, what's really at stake is a lot of things about the presentation of personality and character.
Personality and character, personal narratives, which are summed up in the closing statement. Let's hear them back to back. Kay Hagan in her closing statement.
I heard from our men and women in duty at Fort Bragg that they were going to lose a tuition assistance benefit that allowed them to take one college class a semester. They found out due to sequestration that they would be denied this. I immediately got to work on this problem, and I worked with Republican Senator Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma. Within 2 weeks, we had an amendment that was on the Senate floor, passed. It passed the House, and it was signed into law by the president within 2 weeks. It shows once again that I am the most moderate senator.
You know, I came up, I had a wonderful childhood, but it wasn't always easy. I've been a paper boy, a short order cook. And when I graduated from high school, I didn't go to college. I was working in a warehouse and living in a trailer park. And over 16 years in 5 different institutions, I finally received my degree. Along the way, I met my beautiful wife, Susan, and I had 2 wonderful children. I'm a living example of somebody who's realized the American dream. I want to go to Washington and make sure every single American has the same opportunity to realize their American dream.
There we go. What they said when they got to say what they wanted. Susan Roberts, how'd they do? Susan? Chris, let me start with you. I don't know. We may have lost Susan Roberts' line, but how did you feel? Again, this is the time when you get to tell the personal story and get away from some of the data and the facts that can be confusing and not persuasive. How did those sound to you?
I thought Hagan opened more effectively and Tillis closed more effectively. But the interesting question of debate craft for me is this. The way the debate ended up actually substantially benefited Tillis. Tillis got to make the opening statement. Tillis got to make the closing statement. The first question was about ISIS, where President Obama had said he didn't have a strategy. And the second question was about the Affordable Care Act. And research shows that people are paying most attention at the beginning and then will tune back in at the end. So the basic structure of the debate benefited Tillis in some ways, which is why I think it's either close to a push or a minor margin for him. The other thing is he used that opportunity in the closing statement to not just talk about a personal narrative, but to connect it with the American dream, the ability for others to fulfill the American dream, and the ability to make America great again. And in comparison to Hagan's statement, which was, I thought, a very good statement about what she'd done in guaranteeing tuition benefits for military families, Hagan didn't reach for the same kind of broad scope of the gut argument that gets the American voter that I think Tillis did. So while I think she was more effective at a number of points in the debate, I'd give the an advantage to Tillis in the closing.
Susan, do you have the 20-second version of your answer?
Sure. Narrative was in her answer about, I don't think she was very strong, and it was commendable. His was a little stronger. Throw in that American dream, you're good to go.
All right. Susan Roberts, political science professor at Davidson College, thank you very much for being with us. Christian
thank
Lundberg,
you.
Communications professor at UNC Chapel Hill, thanks for being on the program.
A huge privilege. Thank you.
Coming up, a local theater marks the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall with a unique premiere of the Iron Curtain Trilogy. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.